You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Mette Kierkegaard is a Copenhagen-based Americana singer-songwriter whose music has helped initiate a new genre, Nordic Americana, with the help of her Berlin producer and her EP, Dry Wood. Mette's most recent CD is called Simple Matters, which she recorded in the United States. Mette is my guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles as we talk about her musical journey and she helps us understand what Nordic Americana is all about. Hi, Mette. Welcome to the podcast today.
Hi, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Glad to get a chance to talk officially. We've had a few minutes to catch up before we get started, so I've gotten to ask some fun questions before we are in advance, but we'll try to make sure we get all the good stuff covered while we're doing this show. You are in Denmark, correct?
Right, in Copenhagen.
Is that been, did you grow up there?
No, I grew up outside in a suburban area. Actually, the area is called Ølstykke. You know what that means?
I don't.
Øl, it means beer.
Beer.
And okay. Then peace, so it's kind of beer part.
but you did grow up in Denmark, just not Copenhagen.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I think in one of our earlier conversations, you shared with me that your mother was an English teacher, correct?
It's true, yeah.
Yeah. So I was commenting on your ability to speak English and communicate. We've done that so well. So when did music get introduced to your life?
Well, I mean, my mother, she had an island string guitar since I was, you know, a child. So I was always interested in this guitar. And then I began to play the guitar in the second year of school, I think. And then first year, there was rhythm, like lessons in rhythm for, you know, kids. So I think it must when I was around 6 or something like that, 6, 7, mm-hmm. 8. But then my mother, she sang for me every night. She was singing Danish, I think, some psalms and some, not psalms, they're called something in between, you know, like mm-hmm. year songs, or songs about summertime or about the sun going up. But she did this every night and there was some special songs coming, you know, coming back. So I think she really had a big impact on this, yeah. You know, voice and singing. So, and then I began to sing in a choir when I was in the fourth grade of school.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Classical conservatory, yeah. And then I played the guitar, the nylon string for some years. And then I began to sing in a band. And then later I went to high school at a music high school. And then I began to write songs. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's like a Pandora's box, you know, opening up.
Yeah.
So at
what point did you have this idea that you would like to do it professionally?
I was 21, I think. I think it was like I had this kind of personal transformation time in my life, or maybe a crisis in that way, that I discovered that the music was a huge vehicle for communication.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, after the high school, I decided, no, I don't want to hang out with all the musicians. I want to work with writing, you know, words. And then I went to study speech. So it was still related. And then I learned about how to perform and stuff. But then I took a break from the studies. And then I began to write songs. And then I realized, oh, my God, music is such a strong vehicle for communication, including the poetry.
Yes.
So that was kind of my it was a very idealistic project. Like I felt that I'm going to pass messages to people in songs. That's how it was. That was when I was 21.
And so you, at that point, were playing at open mic nights and parties and that
kind
of thing?
At this time, we didn't really have open mics in Denmark. You know, that's the thing. It was very poor, and it was like all the artists you would see who were kind of professional, they all had a band. They were not kind of songwriters.
Oh, okay.
There was no space for a solo, maybe a few professional, but there was no kind of level between. Mm-hmm. But then I found a stage for musicians jamming, and then, you know, I could sing, and then I found one kind of song contest, and then it happened that I went back to university, and still not music, but then I decided to take 1 year at musicology, because they had a lot of practical courses.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was at this place, there was a guy in New York who wanted to swap his flat. And then I had heard that New York was good for songwriting.
Hmm.
And that was because there was a piano player who heard me at the musicology place,
mm-hmm.
who had been to New York. And when he heard my music, he said, "You should go to New York. This is exactly what they're playing in the bars."
Wow.
And then I went there, and then I realized, oh my God, they're actually sitting here in bars and playing, you know, music. And mm-hmm. and then I did the same, you know. I had 3 gigs in New York when I came, you know, small gigs. So, and I sent a demo with my songs, and then they called and said, "Yeah, you can come and play, you know, at the ACME Underground or even the CBGB's Gallery." You know, I
really
played there.
That's neat. And this was when, about what
yeah,
what
this is
year?
That was year 2000.
Okay.
That was November, December, January 2000, 2001.
Mhm.
New York, at this time I thought that New York was the most amazing thing. I mean, I had such a good time. I met so many people, and they really liked me, you know. So
yeah.
I felt like, wow. But I didn't have a green card, and I didn't know how I should stay, you know. So I ended up going back, and it was like, I never forget it, you know. I came back, and it felt like everything was just backwards.
Yeah. Wow.
But later on, I learned that America is much greater than New York. New York is actually a very hard place to
uh-huh.
begin, and it's not even the best place for songwriters' music, but they have open mics.
Right.
And many people go there. So, but then I found, you know, Austin, where I wrote songs for the last album, and also East Coast, California, and you know, and also through the mid-states and all this. There's so much stuff going on that you can use for poetry, like nature areas,
yes.
and, you know, road
mm-hmm.
trips, and
mm-hmm.
so, I mean, but it was definitely, you know, certain events like the 21, and then the guy, the piano player, and then coming to New York, yeah, that made a huge difference.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
So how long after you spent your time in New York did you record your first debut CD?
Yeah, I mean, you mean a real album with real graphics and all this stuff. It took me... let me see. It actually took me 7 years, but I did release demos before. But
okay.
It took me 7 years
wow.
to collect. You know, at this time it was very expensive to record an album.
Right. Right.
So, and it was only when I became a member of this songwriters union in Denmark called DBA, and then they it was possible to apply for funds. You know, for recording. So it was when I became a member of one of those unions, then it was easier
mm.
to sort of pursue my career.
Mm-hmm.
So it meant really a lot. At this time, money was probably maybe more important than network.
Mm.
Where when you get older, it's opposite. Network is obviously the way to, you know, success. It's not, you know, the right vibes and the right environment, right?
Right, right, yeah.
So, but it was, I mean, it was just, that's my first album, and then I went to England And then I got a 4-star review of my album in Nottingham Evening Post, because I went over there some months because I tried to see if I can live in England now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, but it's just usual music work, but nothing else worked.
So then you were telling me this really neat story about coming to the United States again.
Yeah.
And spending more time and actually traveling, was it 22 states?
Yeah, I think it was 22 states. Let me see. It was New York, the Amtrak train to Arizona that was going through Chicago.
Okay, yeah.
So you can maybe figure out what states
right,
you will cross.
Right, yeah. And that and was then, a songwriting trip, right?
No, yeah, I mean, it was a trip with the, I was traveling with a boyfriend, and it was his idea. I mean, I just wanted to go to New York. I didn't know anything about America, you know.
Yeah.
But it was such a huge experience, and which I realized later how you know, helpful this was for my understanding of Americana, like the Nordic Americana, the genre that I was trying to figure out, you know, what was, because definitely I was not, you know, Americana in the American sense, Americana like the deep, you know, because I don't have this history. But it was kind of the Nordic Americana, like I was actually singing about sad stuff and about, you know, hard love matters and stuff, and where a lot of songs in Denmark, they are a little more heavy. We don't have so many kind of, it was more the English American kind of mellow, you know, energy and or vibe. So I learned a lot about America, and I began to understand a lot about Americans just by driving around and seeing how people were living and, you know, things that I didn't understand just by being in New York. So it was very interesting.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview. So you wrote songs that actually was on your second record, right?
That was I had two albums, one in English and the next one in Danish. And after this, I recorded an EP, Drywood. And this was created after the road trip.
Yeah.
Through America.
Yeah.
And the road trip was going Flagstaff, Arizona, and then up to Utah. What is it called? The Science Park? Science Park? Is that what? Utah Park. I can't remember now. It's called Utah, right? This park?
Utah is the state, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, and then that's a park. The park is that Science Park. I can't remember. There were three parks.
Okay.
It was the Science. Mm-hmm. And then there was the Bryce Canyon and Grand Canyon.
Okay.
And then also Las Vegas. And then up the way to California, Los Angeles, California, San Francisco. Mm. And then, you know, Oregon, Portland, and up to Seattle. And then through Idaho, Wyoming.
Wow.
South Dakota. And then, you know, up to Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
This way up, and then from Niagara Falls back to New York.
Wow. So you got the full tour.
Yeah, I mean, it was so crazy, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you made reference to Nordic Americana, and it was we won't spill the whole story, because you're helping us put together a story about that will appear in an upcoming edition of the magazine, and will be online as well, so people can read the full story. But it basically was kind of a label that you and your producer kind of came up with together to describe what you just mentioned was this kind of different style of Americana.
Yeah, that's the. We were working in the studio in Berlin. I mean, when I came home from America, I knew that I wanted to do something, some change with my music.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it. I didn't just want music that was kind of live played, you know, like a jazz, you know, that you can then live record. It was not this sound I wanted. I wanted a more kind of modern sound, and still, you know, kept in this original kind of folky style. And then I met Rio in Berlin through a woman I know from England. Etsy Steels is her name, another songwriter you can find also on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
She had recommended me this producer. And he said that my music was, well, I said it was Nordic, a Scandinavian touch or a Nordic touch. That was kind of the description of my new folk. And then he said it was Nordic Americana.
Mm-hmm.
And this way we sort of worked on the new songs that, I mean, defining it while we were working. So we just,
yeah.
I mean, it was also a bit like, I recall that he had remixed James Blunt, this famous song.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name, one of his songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's also a bit of this, you know, the modern, you know, because James Blunt is also a folky songwriter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just modernized, but his is more modernized like pop. But there's kind of, you know, a vibe from a mix from some roots element.
Right.
So
right.
Some kind of. And then, so about the genre, I mean, it is Nordic because I clearly have a very melodic tone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's mellow.
Yeah.
And the mellow tone you also have in Denmark, but mostly in old songs, you know, which is kind of a more classical discipline. So I think this is a kind of a fusion of this comes out in the American English imagery.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the poetry that comes from me when it's in English, it's mellow.
Mm.
That's the English, either is the English gentleman or American side of me. It's it's kind of, you know.
Yeah, that's neat.
Where the Danish is just, you know, maybe comic or the words is such a different, you know, language.
Yeah.
It can also be kind of very classical and,
sure.
and poetic.
Yeah, yeah.
But
very,
it's different.
Very
yeah.
pretty, yeah. So
and, yeah.
So then the next record, which is kind of the one that's your current record, is Simple Matters. And that happened how long ago?
Yeah, it was released in November or the end of October 2018.
Okay.
And I still feel that it has a long life to live and it hasn't been lived yet.
Yeah.
It needs to come out some more. I really think so.
Yeah.
And I also heard this from people that it's kind of, you know, some of the songs are kind of long lasting evergreens.
Yeah.
And why? Maybe because Costas is also, you know, co-writer on and that he has, you know, this kind of, you know, long lasting, you know. One of the songs called Heaven, I think, and also Simple Matters is
mm-hmm.
also kind of catchy, you know.
Yeah.
That you remember it. And then also Johan Wagner, a very good songwriter from Austin. We worked on a song which has become very popular in Denmark in a Danish version because I translated it to Danish.
Oh, okay.
And it's called Foreign Pines. About driving through the East Coast and, you know, through the high towns and the poor towns and you're just in love and you sort of slowly see the things,
mm-hmm.
you know, rain coming in and you were hoping for thunder, but all we found was rain.
Mm.
And then you, some of the imagery is kind of, you know, also strong in Danish. And I think it's needed because it's almost translated the same into Danish, but it's kind of, we drove out to the East Coast in a swirl of a summer sky to the prairie winds and the poor towns, to the wet fields and the foreign pines. It's not easy when you're living begging for bread out on your own. We struck a match for St. Francis and then we waited for the storm.
Hmm. That's cool.
So it's very kind of this. And
yeah.
And
you wrote a lot of these in Montana. Is that right?
No, this was in Austin.
Okay.
Because, the record took off in Austin in 2015. I decided to go to the House of Songs in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a songwriter's house that you can stay in for like 14 days. And I was there, and then they sort of hook you up with some songwriters in the area. But then eventually I also met some other songwriters, and Johann Wagner was one of them, because he was performing in the same show as me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy called Matt the Electrician. He sort of arranged these shows where I had four songs, and then there was a band from the area. They had already rehearsed my songs, and then we performed together.
That's
and
cool.
he was there, and we decided to meet and just see if we could write something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very long process. It took 3 meetings. It took 1.5 years or so, maybe more.
Wow.
Because we began April 2015, and then he was coming to Denmark. So, and then we had an hour or so, and I think it was the same summer maybe. And then the next year, I decided to go back to Austin, and then we met again, and then we finished a song, and then I recorded it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because I like to finish things, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he likes to wait and wait, which is also really healthy for the song, right?
Yeah,
sometimes
yeah,
you
sure,
have to wait.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So, again, we've had some time to kind of talk about the differences between Denmark and the United States and different countries,
yeah,
and how things are still aren't open, and just everybody's anxious to get back out and play. What do you hope it looks like for you when the world will open back up again and you can get out with your music and travel? What do you envision being able to do with this to continue on the life of this particular record?
I really hope that my songs and performance can inspire people to get more quality in their life after the COVID-19, you know,
mm-hmm,
pandemic. I really see it as a, you know, to just performing, and then you can see how happy people they get, you know,
mm-hmm,
and how I've seen couples where, you know, you see the guy and he's so happy because he can see that his girlfriend, she's just, you know, it means something to listen to this music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just get a break from all the troubles and all.
Yeah.
And to see this, and there's a beautiful environment, for example, a house garden, and then you sort of play there and you see people sitting at their tables. Because of the COVID, people bring their own stuff and they can sit, you know, with water or wine or whatever, or
mm-hmm,
food, and then just sit and listen in nice weather too. So I really hope that my music can come out more to more people and bring joy and spirituality.
Yeah.
That's just, and if that could work as well for me, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And also I hope actually that there will be the possibility of more online concerts in a good quality. I hope that some of us will be finding ways to set up this, you know, so it could also be, you know, online.
Yeah.
Because I do think that the future holds a lot for artists for online if we have the right equipment. It's still new.
Yeah.
Even though it's been there a while, it's just not the same as live.
No,
right?
No, it's not. It's not. And I think everybody feels that. And we're fortunate to have the connection, but I know that we're all ready for the live connection for sure.
Exactly. And
so the record again is Simple Matters, and Metta, tell me how people can listen to that music, how they can get in touch with
it's
you.
It's on Spotify and iTunes, and if you go on iTunes, if you use iTunes, then you can also see the you know, the CD booklet. And also on my website, you can also see some of the music. I have all the links to the music there.
And what's that address?
To Spotify.
The website.
Hmm?
What's the website?
It's my name, yeah. Maybe you put it on your...
And if you can
maybe
spell it for us, for those folks who are just listening and can't find it.
Yeah, I think maybe the easiest thing is that I give my Instagram, because it's my name, Mette, and then music.
Okay.
In one word.
Okay.
So M-E, as a M like Martin,
uh-huh,
and then E like Evan, T like Thomas, T again, and then E like Evan, and then music.
Okay.
Mette Music.
Good.
So add Mette Music.
Yeah.
That's my because my Instagram is connected to my other accounts. There's a link in the profile,
oh,
and it links to 8 other, you know, links.
Okay.
So it's probably easier than my website.
Okay.
So.
Good. Well, thank you, Metta. It's been fun. Always enjoy.
Thank you so much.
Learning about, especially the new genre, and we'll explore that more in the future for sure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
you. I really enjoyed this.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.